This time on Culture File, we're off again to Saturn and environs in the company of the late great jazz composer Sun Ra and his current disciple on Earth, DJ and record label boss Giles Peterson. Officially, Ra was born Herman Poole Blount in Birmingham, Alabama on May 22, 1914. But after he changed his name to Ra in 1952, he insisted that he was in fact from Saturn. The composer and band leader headed back in the direction of Saturn in 1993, but since then, his legacy has been kept alive by his touring band, The Orchestra. One great point of entry into the music is via the choices of DJ and eternal tastemaker, Giles Peterson, who spoke to me about the life, music, and astral voyages of Sun Ra.
I remember when I was growing up in South London, there was a new library that just got built called Sutton Library, and they had a record department, and they had a really good selection of records in there. And I used to go in there and pick up stuff that I kind of recognised and odd records that looked a little bit more interesting. And that's probably when I first saw and listened to Sun Ra, back when I was about 15, 14 years old. I eventually got a couple of his records as I started DJing, and I found that even though I didn't really understand the music particularly, there was always some really good effects and spoken word bits. So I used to use those to sort of link the music I was playing as a DJ. So they were kind of almost jingles. And it wasn't until a bit later on that I really started delving into the music itself. It was actually John Peel that put me onto some of the really early Sun Ra material. Dreaming, 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 dreaming. Here I am dreaming again. Dreaming, 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 dreaming. I was doing a radio show after him back in the day on Radio 1, and he knew I was a fan. And one night he came into the studio after his show. He didn't often do that. And he just said, I've got a little something for you. And it was an original 7-inch on Saturn of the song called Dreaming. Dreaming,
I'm always trying to kind of work out what the roots are. You do hear that combination of a world that you sort of know and is familiar and cuddly in a way, but with these shards of something kind of astral breaking through every now and then.
It's interesting, isn't it? I mean, I think already there was a use of reverb that he was already interested in that made it already a little bit different. And I believe he was playing keyboards on that song, on Dreaming. So the feeling, if you're really careful and you look into it deeply, you can probably see there's a little connection there and where he went on to from that point. And hopefully on the album, we touch some of that. I think some of his early jazz records and already, you know, the use of vocals, limited use of vocals, you could say, you could see there was a little bit of that doo-wop in there, but he was already getting into his more spaced out material by then.
Was in some ways led by the instruments, because he was quite interested in what new instruments and new technology might do to his music.
He was the first, or one of the very first, to be experimenting, I believe. It's interesting right now when you go back and you listen to some of the songs and you're like, that was recorded in 1959. That was at least 5 or 6 years ahead of everybody else. So, yeah, I don't know what it was. He was ahead of the game for sure. I don't think he was ever completely accepted by the jazz scene at the time. He was on his own mission, and I think he was just quietly confident that everybody would come around to it at one stage, like we are right now. I think he did actually announce on some songs back in the day that people would eventually come around to his music.
In a way, he made it very hard for people to take him seriously within jazz because he played up the astral side of things, worked so much with costumes, and almost it seemed like deliberately made a kind of an unserious persona for himself.
I remember when he used to come to London, I used to go to see him at Ronnie Scott's. He used to do a residency every year there for a couple of weeks, and I'd make sure I was going to be down there for as many nights as possible. And one of the unsaid rules of signing to my record label, talking out at the time, was to invite all the artists that were about to sign and make sure that they heard Sun Ra, because for me, he presented performance in a new dimension. It wasn't just jazz, it was also theatre, it was also make-believe, and that's possibly why he wasn't taken seriously, but equally it was really something that opened up a whole different audience for him.
Wondering to what degree was he serious about it? I mean, you know, the idea that he used to say he was from outer space himself, and that this mythology he brought around it. At some level, that's good showmanship, but at another level, I wondered how much he believed it.
I think he fully believed it, and I think that there is some otherness about him. I've had so many experiences playing his music or hearing stories from the musicians about being in his band, and it wasn't as much of a myth in a way. I believe that, I mean, you know, obviously I'm not saying that he comes from Saturn, but I think he certainly had sunlight in outer space. A wider view of life, and he had a very visionary view of life. And for me as a DJ, I always carry his music, even if I'm not necessarily going to play it, because it always saves me. If ever I'm going through a moment of doubt in my set, or I'm feeling that I'm losing my focus, I usually play a bit of Sun Ra just to straighten me out a little bit. It's a real, he has that added power somehow. Sunrise in outer space. Love for
everybody. Giles Peterson there, and Giles Peterson's choice of the best of Sun Ra can be found on Sun Ra and His Orchestra, To Those of Earth and Other Worlds, which is on Strut Records.